Welcome to the Rossford Exempt Village School District's regular board meeting of Monday, March 11th, 2024. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Roll call.
Tiffany Danzik, Jackie Huffman,
here.
Emily Clacco,
here.
Teresa McKnight,
here.
Dawn Burks,
here. And we will excuse Ms. Stensik this evening. She's under the weather. All right, exhibit number 3A. The motion reads that the Rossford Board of Education hereby adopt the accompanying agenda as presented and adjusted, and also approve the consent agenda with any exceptions noted for its regular meeting of March 11th, 2024.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Clacco.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 5. The motion reads that the Rossford Board of Education move into executive session under Ohio Sunshine Law ORC Section 121.22 at 6:31 p.m. to discuss personnel employment.
Oh, so moved.
Is that what?
All right. Thank you. All right. Any questions or comments? No action will be taken, I believe. We won't have any action. Oh, we will have action.
You can say that we are going to have action.
Action later, but not right after the. Are you talking about? Okay. So, yeah.
Close out the meeting.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Action towards the agenda items. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. All right. Yes, we will have action. All right. Roll call.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. And what I would ask, if you need to go to the restroom, go have a drink or what have you, of water, we may be about no more, hopefully, than 30 minutes. But just wanted the audience to know that so that you are patiently wondering where we're at. So thank you for your patience. 9 p.m. Thank you for your patience, for everyone who's waiting. And at this time, there's no action, but we will be taking action later throughout. All right. Exhibit number 6, recognition of visitors. We have many here tonight, so thank you for being here. Exhibit number 7, Ms. Huffman, we will begin with you. We are going to just briefly talk about a couple things, if you would like, in the principals, directors, and supervisors' monthly reports, if there's anything you would like to highlight. I know we discussed that we would do just a two or three things if you have anything you'd like to share.
I don't have a lot to say. I'm excited to listen to all these kids talk about what's been happening in the last few days. But I just, I guess, like to highlight Matt's podcast that he does. I didn't get a chance to listen to any of them. I'm a little backwards because I don't know how to do podcasts, but all the topics seem amazing. So I'm going to get myself into the podcast. So I'm going to hear about Camp Storer and what else is he doing?
DECA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the speech.
Speech and then something with Northwest Water and Sewer Grants.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right, Mrs. McKnight.
I wanted to say thanks to Mrs. Birch, and she happens to be here, for the Northwest Ohio Teen Book Festival that was here on Saturday morning. It was phenomenal, and it was so cool to see the kids get to see the authors, and then play games with them. That was really, really neat. So nice to see all the staff here, too. And I just put, too, like Brian Smith, he could certainly have a career as a sports writer. If you read his reports, they're just so, the way he communicates is amazing. And congratulations to Aiden Wilson and Noel Reinhardt. And then also to NSG Plant for allowing our fifth graders to go through and just partner with them. And there's just so much Rossford history in that plant. So that was awesome. And it's great to see Mr. Swable. He's reviewing a couple grants to see how they can benefit our school, our students. So I appreciate all the information and all the reports. So thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right, Ms. Clacco.
I think one of the big things that stuck out to me was in the transportation report. And then also, I'm sure a lot of the community members saw the sign to our bus drivers from the Rossburg PTO. I thought that was pretty amazing. And I also wanted to draw attention to the high school report. I'm always making sure we advocate, you know, teenagers seemingly always get a bad rap, but we have got excellence at our high school level. A lot of them are here tonight. And we're doing great things in athletics and academics. And I wanted to also say it's nice to see a blood drive back on the books for the kids to also participate in that. Thank you to Mrs. Schultz for that and getting that done. And then buildings and grounds. Our automatic gate is finished. And because of the talents and the gifts that our maintenance folks have there, they saved the district about $8,000 because they did a lot of the work themselves. And that is pretty amazing.
All right. Well, thank you. And I just wanted to put in a plug for next year, the junior senior high testing center, which is going to be available to students with various needs as served. So I love that we are supporting our students continuously throughout. So thank you again for your detailed reports. All right. So superintendent and board president's report this evening, I'll turn it over to Mr. Krebs so he can introduce all of those who are out in the audience.
Thank you, President Burks. A sincere congratulations to all of our students and parents who are joined here this evening. And we have a number of them, as was mentioned earlier, from the speech and debate team, as well as our DECA competitors at the state level. So thank you for working with your children in the evenings. And certainly thanks all the students for your hard work throughout the day and in your competitions. I have some notes here from Ms. Birch and Ms. Smith-Nissen, who I see has joined us, regarding our students. And I think probably the best way to do this, we know a lot of students have other activities going on, and we have several to recognize here. But what I'll do is the board always likes to recognize you individually. So as I call your name, if you would just come up here and start with Board Member McKnight and just go right around the horn and congratulate. We have certificates here for your participation that go along with, of course, your awards that you may have won at these state competitions. But we will provide these to your advisors or get them over to the high school where they can be distributed then, okay, in the interest of time. But congratulations to everyone. Certainly, thank you to Ms. Birch for all her efforts as well with the speech and debate team. Of course, they traveled to Worcester, Ohio, February 29th through March 2nd to participate in the Ohio School Speech and Debate state competition. Our state qualifiers included Yulia Hernitska, Aiden Heaton, Josh Bricks, Emma Fish, Justin Jones, and Amanda Bautista. As they're coming up, it's important to note that Ms. Birch shared. Also, I see Ms. Washek, who's joined Ms. Birch over there. So there are two coaches there. Thank you again for all your effort. I also want to mention here that Yulia also won the Christian Science Monitor Scholarship, which is a $500 award. So congratulations to Yulia. I don't think she's not here. Okay. Moving on then to Rossburg DECA, and again, thank you to Ms. Smith-Nessen. We had the Ohio DECA Career Development Conference in Columbus. This took place between March 7th and the 9th. 18 students participated in the event, with 13 students competing in the Ohio DECA state competition. It's denoted here on who went on to participate in the DECA state competition. But I think to honor all these students who competed, I'm going to read their name and where they placed and what that series of competition was in. So there are different categories, and we can follow the same process. A little bit longer list here. Before I call all of them, it is also important to point out, Ms. Smith-Nesson is proud to share that Michael DeShetler took the first place trophy in financial consulting. And Grant Eckel in the principles of marketing. So congratulations. As a result, Michael and Grant will compete in the international DECA competition in Anaheim, California at the end of April. If you had seen Michael, he basically emceed the NHS ceremony earlier this year. Pretty natural gift you have there, young man. So congratulations on your hard work as well. So again, back to our contestants, all of them. I'll just call them by name, area again in place. We had Jacob Smith, Automotive Series, fifth place. Tristan Steele, Automotive Series, fourth place. Macy Adams, Travel and Tourism Team, fifth place. Jesse Tanikala, I apologize if I mispronounced your last name, Jesse. Travel and Tourism, fifth place. Aislinn Deck, Retail Merchandising Series, third place. Michael DeShetler, Financial Consulting, Professional Selling, first. Nick Tadoni, Principles of Business Management and Administration, fourth place. Ty Klocko, Sports and Entertainment Team, fifth place. Yulia Hrnitska, Principles of Finance, fourth place. Liv Husar, Marketing Management Team, second place. Aiden Wilson, Marketing Management Team, second place. He also participated in the state wrestling competition this weekend. Owen Swanger, Principles of Business Management and Administration, third place. Of course, Grant Eckel, Principles of Marketing, first. Keegan Engram, Sports and Entertainment Team, fifth place. Damian Silvera, Financial Analysis Team, fourth place. Kaylin Barrett, Restaurant and Food Service, fifth place. Kyle Schmidt, Financial Analysis Team, fourth place. And Alexander Vargo, Personal Financial Literacy, fifth place. Congratulations.
All right. Amazing. I don't know if you would like to have them go out. Yes. So if we could, because we would like to get a group picture photo. So if you would go with Ms. Spangler, anyone who was recognized tonight, please just follow this group right here. And thank you so much. Awesome job. I know how much hard work that is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations. I don't know any more parents. Caroline, you can go out there and take pictures, more pictures. You're allowed to. I'm like, you're allowed to. All right. Awesome stuff. All right. Exhibit number 9A1. The motion reads that the Rossford Board of Education accept the retirement resignation of Sarah Stewart, 12-month custodian, effective August 1st, 2024, as presented under Exhibit 9A1.
So moved. Second.
Any questions or comments?
Does she have to?
She is. We are going to miss her last.
Yes.
Yeah, she always went above and beyond.
Yeah.
So I just, you know.
She's ready for the next.
Enjoy her NASCAR
races. All right, roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9A2, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approved the employment of Jennifer Ramirez, 12-month custodian at the junior-senior high school effective March 12, 2024, and Kennedy Durko, paraprofessional special needs aide, effective date to be determined as presented under Exhibit 9A2.
I second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Lee Clocko.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9B1, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the volunteers effective the 2023-2024 school year as presented under Exhibit 9B1.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? And you will be abstaining because thank you for your volunteerism.
My pleasure.
All right. Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Abstain.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9C, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the agreement with the Educational Service Center of Lake Erie West for remedial specialist services at St. Joseph's School, Maumee, effective the 2023-2024 school year, as presented under Exhibit 9C.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call. Emily Clocko.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9D, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the agreement with the Northern Buckeye Education Council for Internet Access Services effective July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027 as presented under Exhibit 9D.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9E, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education accept the donation of food items for the food pantry from Amy Brown and Angie Lilly as presented under Exhibit 9E.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Thank you for their donation. Yeah,
very nice. Thank you.
All right. Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9F, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education adopt the resolution for Right to Read Week from May 13th through the 17th, 2024. The theme of Right to Read Week is Drawing Inspiration, an author-illustrator visit with Jarrett J. Kurosak as presented under Exhibit 9F.
So, second.
All right. Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Emily.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And Terry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Had it right when I wrote it. Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Dawn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 10A, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the purchase of the Panorama for Student Success platform to assist counselors and intervention teams in the identification of students with academic concerns as presented under Exhibit 10A.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
I just wanted to take a minute to thank Mr. Krebs for taking the time to walk through this with me and explain it, and I think it'll be great for our district.
All right. I had a quick question too. It said that it was going to be effective in May. Is that correct? Will it start in May?
I'll double check with Mr. Swable.
Okay. I was going to do that too. I didn't know at the end of the school year how that.
And yeah, once the software is purchased, then we have to load the data, which it talks to PowerSchool, right?
Okay.
But I don't know exactly specifically which of those programs. But we'll have to upload some of that information in there. So we'll start moving on it as soon as we.
Right. I thought it was really quick to be able to start in May.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty, I mean, they kind of build the data because I used it in my other district. And I will tell you, it is very helpful for data purposes and identifying and seeing different trends with students and working with them as far as with mental health and just understanding different things. So, I mean, it was very, utilized a lot where I worked before. So, yeah. But it does link with PowerSchool. So a lot of the data is already there. So you don't have to build so much of it. If that makes sense.
Right. It's right. So it's,
Okay.
I'll check to see when.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Roll call.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Emily Clocko.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. exhibit number 11. At this time, we will open our audience participation up. And what we've asked is if you are planning to speak and present to the board or address the board, please put your name and your address. And you'll have a 3-minute window of time to address the board. We do not address board members individually. We address the board as a whole. And then we have a 30-minute window of time. So if you would bring that sheet up, thank you. All right, there we go. Oh, you're the okay. Okay, Rachel. And I will also say, Rachel, while you're doing that, we don't have dialogue with the audience. However, if there's questions that do come up that we can ask the superintendent, we may have then him address the questions that are asked, because that's why we have people sign in. So that way we can follow up with you and we give that to our treasurer. So thank you.
Got it.
That's okay. That's why I thought I've never seen you since I've been on the board. So girl, that's why I did all that. Make it a little easier.
So I don't have anything really officially planned. I just being.
So state your name and your. I know you, but name and address for the board. I'm sorry. Yep.
Address is 202 Hanum Avenue.
Thank you.
I'm just coming as a concerned parent, as the transportation to our has been a big subject, not just in my household. I've heard many other parents are concerned about it, transporting our patients, sorry, I work in a hospital all day long, transporting our students from the school to the R or spring sports. So I have a safety concern, not just, I know there's a plan in place. I read final forms yesterday and everything that Mr. Smith had sent out about the transportation plan, about our athletes getting on buses at the high school, transporting them, you know, everybody is assigned to a specific bus, and then transporting them to the R for their sport. My concern is there are some athletes that or some students, I don't know how to exactly say this, but, you know, I guess those athletes that climb on a bus with other students that are not going out there and maybe being coerced to get off at a certain stop that is not their correct stop. So I have a concern about that, the safety of our students getting off on stops that are not going to the R, and the bus driver not even knowing what student is supposed to go to the R and not going to the R. So I just have a safety concern about that. I don't know if I worded that right or what. So that was my only concern about that. I guess another concern was athletes coming from Penna that are in spring sports. So they're supposed to ride a bus to the high school. I don't know if this is exactly how it's supposed to be, but they're supposed to ride a bus from Penna to the high school and then board another bus to go out to the R after all the other students are dropped off. So I just, that's just kind of weird to me. I guess my whole problem and issue is we've had a transportation bus in the previous years to go out for spring sports, and I just don't understand why this year it's such a bigger. I know there's a bus driver shortage, I understand that, But we've always had a designated bus for transportation out the track for all Springs.
All right, thank you. And since I think that's been a discussion with the board, Dan, if you don't mind addressing it, because I know the board, just so you are aware, audience, is that we receive updates from Mr. Krebs each week, and that was one of the things that did come up as to the plan. And so I'll just turn it over to him so he can share with our community what that looks like.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Can certainly appreciate concerns, right? Without going into too much detail, in the interest of time, we do have a shortage. So we had several drivers leave the district last year or retire. I think it was four that left the district last year. So as we know, due to the difficulties in getting a CDL, all districts really across the state and the area and across the country, it's a very tenuous situation. But in any event, despite our efforts to continue to try to recruit drivers, that's been a challenge. That's not unusual. The shortage then carries over into the routes. Now, because of that, we don't have as many buses out on regular routes. And so those routes are extended. They're longer than they were last year. So last year, for the purposes of the conversation, there were more buses, so we could get those routes could be run more quickly. And so that was another kind of trigger of, okay, the routes are now longer, so those drivers are on the road longer. A good challenge that we have here is that we have a lot of kids, junior high and high school, participating in our programs being held out at the athletic complex. So that's a good thing that we have a lot of kids involved. The challenge there, as I understand it, is, of course, we couldn't just fit them all on one bus. We need a minimum of two buses to get the number of athletes to the athletic complex in order for practices or home events. And given that those practices occur shortly after, let's just say, the junior high and high school dismisses, it's advantageous for everybody to get the buses here to campus and then get them those students transported to the R as quickly as possible, so there aren't several kids left unsupervised for a significant amount of time. And that's despite we have the Beyond the Bell program as an option. But we knew that we needed a minimum of two buses. We knew we had to be able to deliver that consistently with all of those sports going on at the same time, those being baseball, softball, junior high, and varsity track, right? So we knew we needed to. The length of those routes are longer. Initially, we just sent out, and I don't even recall what it was, but we knew spring practices were coming up quickly. So we kind of hustled and said, well, here's kind of what we're going to do to get those students out there as quickly as we possibly can. But we also then knew that we had walkers to consider for those to get the transport out there, as well as students who may attend our district through open enrollment and who are also student athletes. So we met again, as communicated to the board, this past Wednesday or Thursday, myself, Mr. Smith, and Ms. Meehan, thinking, how do we work through this? We need at least two buses. We need them in close proximity to dismissal here at the downtown campus so that we can get students out there safely, as we were able to accomplish that, as was mentioned, with one bus last year. But at least now at this point, there are too many kids. So the decision was made, well, let's communicate where all of the buses would then swing through here, right? Pick up those athletes that are assigned, including the walkers, including the students here under open enrollment. They are, and the kids who typically ride a bus, they're assigned to kind of what we call their neighborhood bus, right? So if I was a rider and I rode bus 3, I would get on bus 3, And then we assigned those athletes. Ms. Meehan went through and assigned athletes to those particular buses where they would then transport. They're going to pick them up in the bus loop here around 3:15. Okay. Dismissal is at 2:49 or something, right? So at 3:15, they would just be coming through, pick up the students, and then transport them out to the R. And then that process was explained where kids would get off the bus if they needed to use the locker room before going on to their field, whatever sport they were practicing in. So Ms. Meehan has the names of those riders. Some will, no question, be unfamiliar to them. But the majority of those kids then will be transported to the R, where those kids participating grades 7 through 12 would exit if they're on a sports team. My understanding is regarding Penta students, they are also accounted for. The thing I will check into and get back to Ms. Eckel with was, I'm not sure if the Penta bus goes from Penta then to the high school and then out there. I was under the impression that those buses would pick up students at Penta and then deliver those students directly to the athletic complex. But I will double check that piece. There was one other thing that I will revisit concerning the communication is, at the beginning of the year, some students, for whatever reason, let's just say they may have a car available to them and they drive themselves to school, there's a non-request for transportation. And so those students were to also be assigned to a bus. And I think in the communication and reviewing that, those students were not included in that. But I will circle back to make sure that at the very least they are assigned. So the thinking was, we're going to assign everybody to a bus to make sure, knowing that some students drive themselves or perhaps a parent transports or what have you. But we first wanted to make sure to start that all of the students had transportation available to shuttle them to the complex for practices and or home competitions. So that's kind of where we're at. Like I said, I will check on that, and certainly can appreciate, you know, if some students are being tried to coerce or what have you to get off at a stop other than the R or any of the other stops. We'll make sure that communication is carried through to our drivers, and they do a phenomenal job with that. So that's the plan going forward. If we happen to be able to hire another driver or find a different way that is closer to what we did last year, we would certainly, that would be easy, the easiest route. We agree and the best. The unfortunate thing is, under the circumstances we currently have, we aren't able to meet that with the numbers of kids we have participating and the number of routes and the length of routes. So that's how we'll.
All right. I think in the past, okay, this was a long time ago, the coaches, like, do we have access to the vans, or is there just too many kids and the coaches aren't, you know, they used to shuttle them way back and forth, and the coaches had the.
Sure.
AD, I think, did it too.
Sure. That would be another possibility. We utilize the vans to take some of our smaller teams. That's certainly an option as well. Just as an example, tennis, right, has a smaller number of participants. That would be an option. Again, we were just looking at, okay, how do we encompass everyone? Because I don't, like, one of the challenges is when you match up those schedules, if we have a tennis match away on that day and how those vans are committed, but that's certainly something we can look at, right, to include. But those vans, you know, typically cannot seat more than a total of 9 people. That includes the driver. If I'm not mistaken, it's 8 or 9. But so the transportation with people with their CDL and trained and kind of know the kids was our best available option at the time. But that's, you know, subject to be revisited and certainly adjusted if we can find a better solution. We're certainly open to it.
I just also wanted to add that we also have
people in the district that have been picking up routes, like our junior high athletic director, and everyone's pitching in. We have people filling in the gaps.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Ideally everybody makes it there to drive for us on a daily basis, but obviously there are approved leaves or illness or what have you that our drivers run into. As a result, in order to fulfill the need, we have our director, Tamara, has been driving secretary out there. We're fortunate, has a CDL, picks up many of those routes or drives for us. Our maintenance supervisor does not have a CDL, but will sometimes adjust and do a van route for us to pick up or deliver students that we may be transporting to a location outside the district for services. So we have quite a few people, and we've been trying to work to get as many people as we can in. But again, it's something we're experiencing nationally with.
So in our transportation report, we had 4 buses off the road. Did that take into play?
So that was prior to her report. Okay. I have shared that with the board that those 4 buses have been brought back, and they're on the road now. There were a couple of them that had recalls from the manufacturer that for those recalls to be addressed, we had to get them to Lima, but that's been taken care of. So we have full bus capacity buses. We have the full fleet back online now, but it's just the drivers we're kind of juggling around. So,
and so what I heard, from Rachel was that, obviously, communication, which you've touched on, as far as how do we get that communicated, not just to the bus drivers, but then to the families, right? Mm-hmm. And then safety, obviously, is a concern. Athletes coming from Pena, which you talked about, logistics. And I think when I was talking to Jamie, one of the logistical things is, like, you know, if the high school, junior high, get out at 2:49, what have you, then the elementary gets it at 3:30. There's a very small window of time between that to get kids out to that area and then get to the elementary, right? Correct.
Yeah, I failed to mention that. Yeah. So the drivers that are on the high school route are also the elementary route drivers.
Yeah.
So to pick them up at the elementary dismissal, as you mentioned, which is 3:30, that adds another wrinkle in terms of a time constraint there. So we felt, as good as you could feel about it. But we know it's far from ideal. I know, the last thing is, we've talked about the shortage. We'll continue to try to build on that. And in checking with other districts, this is kind of a common theme. Mm-hmm. Where you have, facilities that are separate from the campus that just rear up. And so we're doing our best to address it, and we will continue to monitor it for improvement. I think the communication went out Saturday afternoon on final forms. That's how parents were kind of notified of that, like I said. But
and then the only other thing, knowing that when I was in my other district, I know there was a huge shortage. They asked staff to, and they were going, and that's, it was an incentive if you did and you got a stipend or something to get their CDL license, because there's such a shortage. So because they didn't have enough bus drivers in the district I was in before. So they were asking teachers.
Going to ask also, because I know in the past few years our junior high athletic director does our transportation to and from the track back then for spring sports, and I mean I don't know why that could have changed, because he's not a regular route driver. We really depended on him, and
that's it.
Changed just this year.
That's absolutely another great point. We looked at that. The thing that that is the concern is, okay, the consistency. So we have Mr. Recknagel, right? Our junior high athletic director does have his CDL, and he is He has also stepped in on several occasions and bailed us out, so to speak. And then we also have two other drivers that stepped away from, let's just say, their driving duties to be more involved in the food service area. There are two there. That's where you're kind of walking into a consistency thing. If one or any one of combination thereof has other commitments outside of that, we wouldn't feel good if we ran into, we're a little nervous about running into a situation where, say, we only have one bus of the two available to get the number of students transported out to the athletic complex. So that was kind of a concern about going back to the consistency of the delivery, knowing that, okay, if we run into a problem, you know, with one of our typical drivers, we may have to make an adjustment. You know, one of our regular drivers would run into an issue or have to be off or sick or whatever. That's where that whole consistency thing would be, where we would contact as a backup solution to make sure that we have two buses or more in this case within that time frame of dismissal to get the students also out to practice so they can start practicing around, you know, that 3:15 to 3:30 area. Because we know there's an interest for our coaches also to, you know, get practices going and have their teams there. So we knew the one bus solution wasn't a good fit because they'd have to load them, take them out. You're dropping off students, you're bringing back. That bus is then coming back, picking up more students, taking them out. So it would be a solution, but we didn't feel it was as effective in terms of getting all of the participants there relatively close in time, knowing that some of those routes are going to differ, let's just say by 5 minutes or so, picking up kids and getting them out there. There might be, you know, a route that gets hung up somewhere, comes up here, picks up kids. There's a little bit of play in the schedule there that we were thinking about, you know.
All right. Any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you. All right. Reports. Ms. McKnight, we'll begin with you.
Okay. I'm the legislative liaison. So there's a couple things here, and I'm geeky like that. So I thought they were interesting. You guys probably think they're boring. But it said the Senate unanimously voted to concur with the House changes to Senate Bill 17, which would require the state board to update the standards and model curriculum for financial literacy and entrepreneurship in grades 9 through 12, which is going to include free market capitalism content. The Senate unanimously passed Senate Bill 154, which would make changes to the Ohio Revised Code to include Space Force in the definition of the armed forces, armed services, and uniformed services of the United States. And as a result, information on Space Force as a career will be presented to our students. And testimonies are still being given regarding House Bill 920. Our expert is Mr. Rossler in that department. Mm-hmm. And then Department of Education and Workforce released the approved curriculum for the Science of Reading, American Reading Company, and Foundations. Were both approved, which is what we currently use. At the Rec Center, the capital improvement projects are completed for Vets Park. There's a couple of, they're waiting on the next meeting to decide. The city has to decide what they're going to do with that splash pad before the Rec Center can move forward with what their plans are. There's preparations for two November levies, an operating levy and a capital improvements levy. One is for Indian Hills Park, which would include a welcome center, a rental facility, and a small outdoor classroom and a walking trail. And they asked me to ask the board or someone where in Indian Hills, when you walked in, that display case that had all those, they would like to use that as part of the welcome center. So I said I would ask.
That case and the items that were contained in it were donated to the Rossford Public Library.
Good to know.
When we were in the process of converting that to the temporary junior high during the build process, those items were donated to the Rossford Public Library.
I'll talk to Mrs. Goldsmith then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Easter egg hunt is March 23rd at the Edward Ford Memorial. If anybody has any extra plastic eggs or an Easter basket they'd like to donate, go see Toby. Of course, the rec center is closed on April 8th, and it said that they're going to be the ones donating the glasses to all of our students in Rossford. So I thought that was nice. Riverfest, August 18th, and the Halloween Parade, October 27th. And then just a thank you to Mr. Sutter for his Penta report, too. That's good.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right, Ms. Huffman. All right, Ms. Klacko.
Unfortunately, Tiffany's not here this evening to also comment, but we did have negotiations as part of our being on the negotiations committee, and so that's underway, and you'll hear more about that soon. So that process is underway, and that's the only report I have.
All right, and then the FACE committee, I know Mrs. McKnight had asked about that. That should be happening in April. And so Mr. Krebs is getting the staff who I think it was Emily and I spoke on some suggestions of staff members that trying to kind of do a plethora of different people to be on the committee. So we'll have more information in the next couple of months. Okay. And we had one correspondence that we just received this evening that the board will need to review because we didn't have any, we just got it. So we'll review that and we can talk about that at the next board meeting. We had 10 nice job notes this past month. And so exhibit number 13, open discussion items at this time, open it up to the board for any open discussion items. All right. Does anyone have any? All right. Exhibit number 14. The motion reads that the Rossford Board of Education adjourned the regular meeting of March 11th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Teresa McKnight.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Emily Klacko.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Meeting adjourned at 8:01 p.m. And thank you all for coming out and staying and being patient. Have a great evening.